In case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Laporte, and this is the 22nd Monday Morning PlayStation Podcast. Each and every week on Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, a new podcast released on Spotify, iTunes, and other podcasting services talking about PlayStation news, games I've been playing, and some commentary on what's happening in my life. If you're not interested in the audio version and want something more, a week later the podcast is uploaded to YouTube with video, of course, and the question of the day and the show's time codes in the comments below as well. You can find the MP4 on YouTube at youtube.com/DylanLaporte and find the MP3 on Anchor at anchor.fm/MMPP. And as always, feel free to visit my main site, DylanLaporte.com, for blog posts, updates, and articles I've written, and much more. So, without further ado, let's get the show started. So, I'm currently at the beach right now. That's why change in background. I'm literally, I didn't expect to have this much light actually coming into with just this small lamp actually in the room. So, maybe depending on if it works out or not, I might have my face video in the video version of the podcast. And or maybe not, but I literally have this makeshift... I'm using a drawer. Look, I'm using this drawer right here as a as a way to stand up the microphone to get leveled with my mouth. At least I'm on the floor right now. My laptop is right in front of me, and my other laptop is right here where I'm reading off of. And so it's really, really makeshift, which is kind of cool. I don't have a special tripod for this. I don't have the adapter that even fits with this microphone, but it's pretty cool. I'm finally at the beach. I got 42 days left until I go to school. Till I go back to college, and I'm just trying to enjoy. Tomorrow will be my official first day at the beach, and I have 2 weeks. I'm having 2 weeks of vacation back here, back to back at Outer Banks, which is kind of cool, and I'm really excited. What time is it? It's friggin' 2:52 a.m. on Monday, and I just really need to record this podcast. I had to export some other videos and do some stuff, and so I'm trying to record this podcast and then quickly edit it, export it, and export it, and then post it on Anchor. And so it shouldn't take me that long, and so this podcast is definitely not going to be that long, as I'll discuss in a later moment, but it's definitely not going to be that long, this podcast, just because I'm just running out of time, and there's actually not a lot of news this week, and plus there's some missing articles that I was looking for. So with that, I wanted to talk about what I'm playing, what I'm watching, and what I'm reading. So what I've been playing, I finally hooked up my PS3. My PS3 has been hooked up, but I finally got into my PS3, and now I'm playing Killzone, the Killzone trilogy, with the HD Golden Edition trilogy for the PS3, and I finally beat the first Killzone game, and that was, I thought, was a lot of fun, getting back into the old shooting style of the back in the day, where first-person shooters, where everything was hip-fire. And so I'm excited to dive in. I beat the first Killzone game, so I beat that. And Thursday afternoon games chat this week will be a review of that game, which I'm excited to do because that I wanted to talk more about that. And I'm definitely going to talk a lot about that in more depth. But it was a fun game, and I really enjoyed it. It does have some minor things with it, but if you guys have ever played it. And you know about Rico and his freaking machine gun that he carries. It's amazing. It's a really, it's like once you unlock Rico, you're good for the rest of the game. But yeah, I'm definitely really liking Killzone. I can't wait to dive into Killzone 2 because the first Killzone only took me like six to seven hours to beat. But I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed the story. At the ending was definitely one of the biggest highlights of the game. I was just like, whoa, this is kind of cool. But what I'm watching is that I just recently watched Rush Hour 1 and Rush Hour 3, and I completely forgot watching Rush Hour 3. I watched it before, but I don't really remember. I was super young. And so I've watched Rush Hour 1, Rush Hour 3, and so those were just funny movies that I watched, and that's about it. I like Jackie Chan, and is it Chris? I think it's Chris Tucker. But they were super funny and lighthearted movies, and I really enjoyed it. So that is what I'm watching, or at least what I watch. I gotta dive into Stranger Things now, but I'm probably gonna do that after the like, 2 week vacation because I just don't have. I don't want to spend the week vacation binging TV shows. But what I'm reading is a book called China Underground, and I'm still reading that book. I've been reading it for like 2 years now, and I just haven't had the time to just sit down and fully read it. And so a chapter at a time, right? But it's super cool. It's about China and its underground culture and stuff like that. And it's really, there's a lot of weird characters and a lot of interesting and funny stories that Zach Mexico, I think his name's Zach Mexico, that he puts into, it's based on his real life experiences meeting these people. At least that's what I think. That's what I think I read. Yeah. And so these people are definitely real. And so it's funny and strange and very outrageous at times. So I definitely recommend checking that out. But let's get out of that. And so this might be a short podcast this week, and there is no new PlayStation drop to discuss. So the drop, PlayStation.blogs, the drop, it hasn't been released, or either it was, I already discussed it in last week's Monday Morning PlayStation podcast, which is weird. And so I guess I covered it. I forgot to cover the wrong article. I forgot to cover the older article, but I covered it nonetheless, and so it's already been covered, or either they haven't, it's either my fault or their fault, but who really cares. But either way, we do not have it this week, and so I do not have a list of games to tell you that is releasing to the PlayStation Store that's new. But with that, we don't have 10 articles this week. We don't have the top 10 PlayStation news articles to discuss this week, but we do have the top 7 PlayStation news articles to discuss this week. So, like I said before, this might be a short podcast, just because of the news, and I can't make up stuff, right? And so here we go. Top 10 PlayStation news in no particular order, as usual. Number 111. Report says GameStop is dying. Analyst predicts when it will go out of business. By Dalton Cooper at GameRant.com. PlayStation was once a force in the industry, especially last generation when digital games weren't quite as popular. And the used games market was thriving so much that video game publishers made efforts to stop it, like with the dreaded online passes. Unfortunately for GameStop, the rise of digital gaming has seen it lose a significant amount of business to the point where its stock has plummeted. And according to a new report, it is almost absurdly dying. The report comes from Business Insider, which analyzed GameStop's low stock price, what that means for the company's future, and how it got itself into its current predicament. The report also consults with video game industry analyst Michael Patcher for added insight on why GameStop is dying. Unsurprisingly, the report points to the start of the current console generation, where digital games were made more accessible than ever before, and with the ability to easily game share between family members and friends, digital games become arguably more valuable to consumers. GameStop perhaps GameStop perhaps realizing that there really wasn't anything it could do to stop the rise of the digital game market. Started looking into other ventures. For example, in 2013, GameStop purchased Spring Mobile Stores, but instead of generating significant profit for GameStop, Spring Mobile just ended up putting the retail giant in debt. It says here in quotations, GameStop went from no debt in generating about $400 million in cash to $800 million in debt and generating $300 million in cash, Patcher explained. GameStop's struggle saw an attempt to sell the company off and go private back in February of 2019, but it failed to find a buyer. Patcher believes that the GameStop couldn't find a buyer because at the time it was unclear if the upcoming Project Scarlet and PlayStation 5 consoles would have a disc drive. And so it would have been a significant risk to purchase the company, as its entire business model hinges on discs. And now that we know both Project Scarlet and PlayStation 5 will have disc drives, Patcher believes that the new consoles will be enough to keep GameStop in business for at least another 10 years. However, as we continue to move toward an all-digital future, it's unlikely that GameStop will be able to survive beyond that, bearing some of unless they do any re-innovating for the company itself. And so I personally really like GameStop. I would be terribly sad if it ever closed, because of I like buying my games physically, and plus there's a lot of resale value in purchasing physical copy games, because there's a just games are rare, and having a physical, I like having the physical item in my hand, because I have like over 400 or something. I forget the exact number that I counted, but I have a whole bunch of games. I have over 300 or 400 games that are just discs or physical copies of the games, and I like growing that collection, and I like having that collection and having the boxes and stuff like that, because it's not just the game. It's about the art of the cover, the box, having the physical item, having a place to put it, collecting and stuff like that, not just having a digital library of just like a whole bunch of mess of games you have, because with PlayStation Plus, for example, like I have a whole bunch of free games, and sometimes luckily there's lightning in the background, but with PlayStation Plus on PS3 and like PS Vita, you have this library of free games, but they did with the PS4, where you have a specific collection of all the PlayStation Plus games you have. On PS Vita and PS3, you do not have that. You have to go and search and find the ones that you do have. Ugh, my leg's falling asleep. I want GameStop to continue going, and I want physical copies to continue, because I know as technology gets better, the discs will get better. But I'm not really that excited about Google's Stata? I think it's Google Stata. I'm not really that excited about it at all, because, you know, I'm always going to be a PlayStation person. I know GameStop is not the greatest store ever, but it's like one of the only places left besides little mom and pop shops, where they sell used games, and like people opening up their stores in small towns and stuff like that. And so, it's a pretty interesting piece. So hopefully GameStop doesn't go out of business, but we have 10 years left to just think about that. And so, I guess we'll see what happens, because I know there's a huge market of people who really still love buying hard copy games. It's a huge market, I mean, even parents still buying hard copy games and stuff like that. But as more games like Fortnite comes out and stuff like that, it's really changing the game. Because you can even buy Fortnite game passes You can buy at the stores, they have boxes of them, but they don't have a disc in them. It's just a code inside a box. And so they're still selling the boxes just with codes in them, which is, that's kind of weird, but because you don't have anything to put it in, and you don't have a disc to put in the box, but do whatever you like. So number two, Ghostbusters, the video game remastered, officially confirmed GameStop exclusive. Price point by Brian at NintendoEverything.com. Towards the end of last week, it was looking like Ghostbusters video game remaster would be exclusive to GameStop. That's now officially confirmed with a new listing on the retailer's website. If you're interested in a physical copy, GameStop will be the only place in the United States selling the title. Ghostbusters video game remastered will be priced at $29.99. Pre-orders are now open at GameStop, and I can assure you that as soon as this comes out, I'm purchasing it because I love that game. It's freaking awesome. Number 333, rumor The Last of Us 2 release date set for February 2020. Four editions planned by Liam Croft at Pushware.com. The idea of The Last of Us Part 2 releasing in February of 2020 just won't go away, will it? It really is starting to sound like the real deal, though, as a post on a Chinese gaming forum points to this once again being the right time for its launch. By the ever-reliable insider ZHugeEX, it is also said that four different editions of the game are part of the title launches planned. Three editions that were available for the first Last of Us game for the PS3. Over on A9VG, a poster going by the name Agent Kicker states that The Last of Us Part 2 will indeed come out next February, and there are four varying versions of the game planned: a standard edition, a special edition, a collector's edition, and most interesting, an Ellie edition. We're not entirely sure what this version could contain outside of the typical art book, soundtrack, and season pass. Maybe a bust of her head. There has to be something interesting about this version of the game. What gives these posts some merit is that the poster in question was discussing a November launch of Death Stranding long before the trailer dropped, confirming that. So the idea that they know at least something seems plausible. Another point that backs us up this rumor is the fact that the voice actor Ashley Johnson also seemed to let the same date slip in an interview last month. I think it's coming out in she almost said February. So I'm excited. I'm really I don't know what else to say other than I'm freaking thrilled. It's already I haven't even played the game, and it's already a 10 out of 10, right? Number 444. Sony has expressed interest in an R-rated God of War movie by Stephen Taylor at PushSquare.com. It seems conversations have already begun regarding the adaption of Sony's games into movies. The platform holder recently established PlayStation Productions to do just that. And according to comicbook.com, film director and writer Stephen D. Knight is keen to take on God of War. Apparently, the Hollywood filmmaker has already had early talks about it with PlayStation. Quote, somebody had asked me about video games, and I've always been a fan of God of War. I think the latest game was just so beautiful and phenomenal. I would love to tackle a God of War movie, or I would love to see somebody put that up on the big screen, D-Night commented. As for who would play main man Kratos, he nominated Dave Bautista. That'd be interesting. And then a quote again, I had some early conversations with the good people at Sony PlayStation about it, and my biggest thing is, look, you gotta approach it like a book, he said. In his interview, trying to recapture the game experience on the big screen is impossible. You have to take the game's core elements and make them work in the context of a movie, which sounds like the right approach. While he isn't down to produce God of War movie right now, his early chats with PlayStation suggest the company is clearly thinking about it. Quote here, it's funny because when I sat down with the Sony PlayStation people, one of the first things we both said is R-rated, because I always use the original Conan the Barbarian as my touchstone, that it needs to be R-rated, end quote, D-Knight said. Quote again, I didn't think there's a way to tell that story and make it PG, nor should it be PG-13 or PG. Again, none of this means it's happening at the moment, but it definitely sounds like we could be watching Kratos slicing up monsters on the silver screen in the future, which is definitely exciting. My foot has fallen asleep sitting on this floor. But that's freaking awesome. I would be thrilled to have a Kratos movie, or a Spyro movie, or an Uncharted movie, or they did come out with a Ratchet and Clank movie that unfortunately didn't do so well, basically upon that it was the exact same thing as the game. Number 555, Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled dominates global sales chart, by Zarmine Kaw at PlayStationLifestyle.net. Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled is the third Activision-published remake after Crash Bandicoot: Insane Trilogy and Spyro Reignited Trilogy that has smashed expectations to climb a top sales chart around the globe. The game, which opened at number one in the UK, was the best-selling title in Europe, Middle East, Africa, and Asia regions for the week ending June 30th, 2019. According to data shared by Games Industry, Crash Team Racing retained its position despite several new releases. The chart, which includes physical and digital sales, was only impacted by the Steam summer sale, resulting in older releases like Sleeping Dogs, Definitive Edition, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege popping up in the top 10. Judgment was the other winner of the week, considering a relatively niche title. The PlayStation 4 exclusive rounded up the top 5, the top 10 best-selling games in those regions for the week ending June 30th are as follows. Number 1, Crash Team Racing Nitro Fuel. Number 2, Super Mario Maker 2. Number 3, F1 2019. Number 4, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Number 5, Judgment. Number 6, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Number 7, Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition. Number 8, FIFA 19. And number 9, Grand Theft Auto 5. And number 10, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And note here that Nintendo does not share digital sales figures, so we don't know if any of those actually beat those out of the top 10 list. PS4 download date for Europe and the US, and in PD sales figure for this US, will be available in due course. So we'll find out as soon as Crash Team Racing performed elsewhere. As far as critical reception is concerned, Crash Team Racing hits in 84, a high 84. A low 84, but I mean, 84 is pretty high across all platforms on Metacritic, which is a great score. Media Molecule says Dreams Early Access is doing well so far. Oh, number 6666. Yes. Media Molecule says Dreams Early Access is doing well so far. By Brianna Reeves at PlayStationLifestyle.net. Media Molecule's Dreams entered early access just a few months ago, apart from an estimated 100,000 players minimum. There exists no concrete details about how well the game is performing with the $30 price tag attached to the early access phase. Some good news has recently surfaced, however. According to the studio's co-founder and creative director Mark Henley, Dreams, thus far, is in pretty good shape. The creative director shared this sentiment with MCVUK for the publication's July 2019 issue. During the interview, Henley revealed Dreams' early access success is going as good as we could ever hope for, he told MCVUK. We want to do a bit of a slow build up so that we can iron out any obvious problems before we put it in front of too many people's faces, really. And the quality of the community is amazing, which was something we'd really hoped for and something that we would we put particular effort into, targeting certain people that we knew would be right for Dreams, primarily a lot of Little Big Planet creators, for example. But not just that. My experience is that it's very good nurtured. Lots of people who are willing to help each other out and collaborate. So I think there's a nice, happy feeling in the community we've got so far, end quote. The nice feeling is likely being fueled in large part of Media Molecule's support of the experience. Weeks following the early access rollout in April, developer released the title's first update. With it came new cosmetic assets, new art kit, additional games, and a promise from the studio to keep in better contact with the community. The latter of the additions introduced the What's New section, which pins new content details and other relevant information to the Dreams main menu. The early access stage of Dreams is currently available to purchase on the PlayStation Network for $30. While the developers want to avoid early access going on for too long, Media Molecule has yet to announce plans for the game's full release date and pricing model. And I'm super excited to play Dreams. I know a lot of people have already been creating awesome Dreams scenes. Like, one guy created Metal Gear Solid, the first mission in Metal Gear Solid, where you're sneaking around the boxes and stuff like that. And so it seems like a very powerful tool and a very unique tool, and it's definitely building on that Little Big Planet experience that I really enjoyed playing, because I played every single Little Big Planet game and also Tearaway, and they're definitely building on what they learned from those games and continuing this creative feat that they're trying to achieve, which is and this game's been in development for a long time, and I'm glad that it's in early access and people are really liking it, because Media Molecule is definitely a great company, and what they're doing is outstanding, and so I can't wait to see what's more from the early access. Number 777, the last article. Uncharted film director confirms it won't directly adapt the game franchise's story, by Brianna Reeves at PlayStationLifestyle.net. The Uncharted film may finally have a 2020 launch date, yet much about the project remains secret. For one, many are eager to learn what adventure Nathan Drake will embark upon on the big screen, especially since actor Tom Holland will play a younger version of the character. Now, there's a bit more out in the wild about the film in general, thanks to a recent interview Games Radar conducted with director Dan Trachtenberg. Apparently, fans should not expect to see any one story adapted for a big screen, as it would be do nothing more than serve as a lesser experience. During the interview, Trachtenberg spoke specifically about wanting to avoid retreading old ground. Quote, I have been approached with different versions of this tale and have always been not that interested in it because I didn't really want to trace the game. So he doesn't want to remake the game into a movie. He wants to keep the games and make the movie a separate story, but add it to the universe, which is nice. He continued explaining that copy and paste job would never be able to live up to what players have already experienced. And this is exactly what they were talking about in the God of War game, God of War movie. I didn't really feel that it was at all worthy of making a video game adaptation if we were just going to copy what the game is and just serve people a lesser experience than what they've experienced in such an incredible way. Interestingly, Trachtenberg seems pretty confident in whatever story he and the film's creative team are putting together. So confident, in fact, that he said Naughty Dog would likely take notes from the movie if ever the studio returned to the franchise. Trachtenberg told GamesRadar, if Naughty Dog so choose to make another Uncharted game featuring Nate and Sully, this movie's story is probably the story that they would want to tell. When will fans finally get to see the film in action? As far as a set photo and a trailer are concerned, that remains to be seen. Production was expected to begin this past April, but has since been delayed to an unspecified time. In fact, it appears casting may still be underway as of March 2019. Sony was still in search of its live action Victor Sullivan, and that is something you have to get right. If all goes as planned, Uncharted will hit theaters late next year on December 18th, 2020, which is, that would be awesome. And so that is it for all the PlayStation news. Literally, it's only 32 minutes so far into the podcast, but I think that is about it. So I'm tired. I gotta get going. I hope you guys enjoy this quick PlayStation Monday Morning PlayStation podcast. Not a lot of news to talk about. And so with that, in case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Lepore, and this is the 22nd Monday Morning PlayStation podcast. Each and every week on Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, a new podcast is released on Spotify, iTunes, and other podcasting services talking about PlayStation news, games I've been playing, and some commentary on what's happening in my life. If you're not interested in the audio version and want something more, a week later the podcast is uploaded to YouTube with video, of course, and the question of the day, and the show's time codes in the comments below. You can find the MP4 on YouTube.com/ Dylan Lepore, and find the MP3 on Anchor at anchor.fm/MMPP. And as always, feel free to visit my main site, DylanLepore.com, for blog posts, updates, and articles I've written, and much more. And so with that, thank you for watching. Thanks for listening to my podcast. And feel free to chat with me on Twitter at Dylan's Legos. And I'll see you guys on Thursday. Thanks for watching, and see you later.